Hey kids, Joseph J. Alexander coming at you. Another edition, White Heat Redux. I'm a little late with this. I wanted to have this up yesterday, but I was a little under the weather. Sorry about that. Sitting here with my vanilla chai tea, trying to get better. One of those continuing New Year's resolutions. Less coffee, more matcha, more tea. So, yeah. Figure we're here, so we might as well just jump right in to the activities of the past weekend. So, Elimination Chamber came from Perth, Australia, this past Saturday. Those of you that follow me on Twitter know that I put out my predictions pretty much right around the time that the entrances were happening for the Women's Chamber. For those, there you go, right there. I mean, I'm pretty sure it's not anything bold to say I'm the only person to predict everything that happened. As far as match results go, you can see I went 4-for-4 on match results. My last prediction didn't happen. So that, I guess that was a little bit of a surprise, if you will. But yeah, so let's go down the card and see how we are. So we began with the Women's Elimination Chamber match, which was already hampered a little bit because Shotzi got injured at NXT. So they put Tiffany Stratton in her place. I don't believe that she was supposed to be there in the first place. And I openly said that she had no business being in the match. A lot of people want to say that she was really the MVP of this match and she really came out and all that. Was I watching a different match than everyone else? Because I don't see it. I mean, I've been pretty vocal about how I think Tiffany Stratton was pushed too hard, too fast down people's throats in NXT. You know, people are like, oh, well, she was in NXT for 2 years and she was injured for 8 months of that. I don't see anything in her. She was obviously pushed to the moon because she was one of Sean's favorites, because she was a Barbie doll. And I think it's just another one of those, oh, we need to push that the NIL program had some success. And I mean, it's okay. So she can do flips. Big fucking deal. She's one dimensional as a heel. I don't see her getting any further as a babyface for whenever they decide to do that, even though the awful, awful, awful NXT crowd at the PC was trying to turn her babyface for so long because they liked her, because she was cute. I hate that shit. She's not ready. People can tell me until they're blue in the face that, oh yeah, she's one of the next big things that I don't see it. I do not see it. I will say kudos to Raquel for going through with the match, even though her skin condition flared up really badly. Having to go out there without makeup. You know, just kudos to her for, yeah. So let's see, judging by the order of elimination, it looks like we're going to get a Naomi Tiffany Stratton program on SmackDown leading into Mania. I don't see Stratton getting a major spot on the Mania pay-per-view. She shouldn't. She is too green. It was pretty obvious that because of injuries plaguing the men's roster, that they had a design for the men's chamber match that they didn't want to happen with the women's chamber match. So they let the women's match be the one where all the scary bumps happened with all the big dives and all that, because they obviously didn't want any more of the men's roster to get injured, to have to reshuffle however they were going to have to for Mania. That being said, okay, yeah, there were a couple of high spots. I was very bored with the women's match. And I know people are going to be like, woo. Honestly, I said it, I was in a group chat with some friends, and I said, it's almost as bad as the one Heyman booked where Baszler buried everyone. For those of you that don't recall, there was the Elimination Chamber match that Shayna Baszler was in a couple years ago, where she basically ran the gamut and choked out everyone in the chamber and went over looking strong. And you can tell that Paul Heyman booked it because it was the same format of which he wanted CM Punk to win the infamous ECW Elimination Chamber match at December to Dismember years ago. It was the exact same format, and Heyman was helping book at the time. So as we could see, it didn't work out well. And this women's chambers match was on par with that one for me. I was not impressed. Maybe it had to do with some of the participants. I mean, I love Becky. I love Raquel. I love Naomi. We knew Becky was winning. And I love Bianca. And it's an odd pairing because you already have the SmackDown Women's Championship match set up. So you don't know what you're going to do with some of these people. Otherwise, I also am not a fan of them not paying attention to the brand split when it comes to these contender matches for the titles, because I'm sorry, but if the SmackDown Women's Championship has already been set, why are there SmackDown people qualifying and being put in this match to contend for the Raw Women's title? It shouldn't be happening. You are negating your brand split in doing so. And I understand it's because, you know, obviously it's for the two titles on Raw, so you don't want to make this a completely Raw-specific show, especially with it being a stadium show halfway across the world. So they did what they did. And for me personally, I felt like the last 30 seconds of the match was too far fast paced for how jumbled the rest of the match was. The rest of the match was like, okay, wait, here's a spot. Wait, here's a spot. Wait, here's a spot. And then in the last 30 seconds, it's boom, 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 pin, 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 done. But there's a disconnect there. Like, I want to know who agented that match, because I don't know. There was just something missing. And apparently I'm in the minority on that, with people saying, oh, no, that was a great women's, you know, chamber match. I just wasn't a fan. Also, I got to say this, people who are fans of Liv Morgan, y'all need better help. Or just some form of psychological help. I know a couple of people got called out on Twitter. There was one person in particular that literally made death threats about Becky's kid. Like, dude, it's not that serious. Plus, I'm not that big of a fan of Liv Morgan as it is. Liv Morgan needs to learn how to sell, because she doesn't. She doesn't. I'm sorry, but as someone who's been in the business almost 20 years, who had it drilled into me about sell, she doesn't sell. And I just... I honestly believe that Liv Morgan is only in the place where she is because Alexa Bliss is out on maternity leave. And that's not to say they're interchangeable, but it's Alexa is a far better character. Liv, there's I don't know why I'm supposed to get behind her. Like, she's generic to me. Like, I don't get the hype with Liv Morgan. And honestly, like, it wasn't that long ago during the Thunderdome era when she was the third wheel in a love triangle with freaking Rusev and Lana. Like, and I specifically remember when that happened and she came out, like, I was one of the people that need to be reminded, like, who is that again? Oh, Liv Morgan. Okay, yeah. I'm like, she's someone I don't see anything in, and I don't understand pushing her, and her fans are toxic. Not all of them, but the vocal population on social media are very toxic. So, women's matches aside, we get to the tag title match. So, obviously, we know Judgment Day is going over, but we'll see what we can do with this. Now, I know a lot of people complain about the amount of non-wrestling time on this show. It's a sold show. Those of you who don't realize what a sold show is. Number one, they were paid by Australia X amount of money to come put on a show to help drive tourism, whatnot. And they still made the money off the ticket sales and all that stuff on top of it. They filled the stadium, 52,000 people. Anyone that wants to complain about the population that was there and how the Ed Sheeran concert that was there held 70,000, whatever, it's a different setup. When you have, even if there wasn't a chamber, they still would have needed that roofing in case of weather. And people don't seem to understand that that's why there were those gaps triangulated around the thing, because otherwise you're going to be an obstructed view. No one wants to pay tickets to be staring at a giant pole and no view of any of the Trons. People don't seem to realize that. Like, these are the people that failed geometry. Because that's all that is. They're like, oh, look, no, Triple H made it so it's an iron cross. No! It's a matter of line of sight. It's basics. I'm getting off on a tangent. But I understand how people complained about lack of wrestling on the show, blah, blah, blah. My only concern was the fact that between the end of the women's match and the beginning of the tag title match, I was literally able to go to my pantry, get out the stuff, make a bowl of oatmeal by scratch, come back, sit down, and they're just doing the intros for the tag titles. I was like, that's a little drawn out. Yeah, it kind of felt like that scene of My Cousin Vinny with How Long Does It Take to Make Grits. That's how I felt. One thing I was reminded of, though, as this match was started, does anyone remember? I know Brian and I talked about it when it was first announced. Remember New Japan was supposed to have its own, like, oceanic territory that was supposed to include, like, Australia, New Zealand? They were, like, going to be breaking off on that. Remember? Because, like, we thought that Jay White was going to be, like, running that part before he went to AEW. Whatever happened to that? It just seems to have floated away into the ether. Like, they were like, yeah, no, you know, pay no attention to the man behind the curtain. This never happened. So, tag title match, New Catch Republic versus Judgment Day. I'm not sure how I feel about the name New Catch Republic. I think it's just because you already have the No Quarter Catch crew in NXT. And I mean, Bate and Dunn had already established themselves as the British strong style stable along with Trent Seven back in NXT UK and NXT. So figured they would have just stayed with British strong style. I don't know why they want to go with another catch name when there's already one happening in NXT, unless they're planning on something going on there, which I don't see happening because new Catch Republic. I mean, Gulak can obviously go. I have hope for Charlie Dempsey. The other two guys, no. Damon Kemp, I find worthless. And the young boy, I can't even remember his name. That's how memorable he is. So anyway, so we get this match. It was a very solid match. I want to say Dom Mysterio just annoys the hell out of me. And we all know this. But I thought it was funny. Ah, my vape. Hold on. I thought it was funny, all of the crowd chants and how they had to bleep out because they were saying Dom is a cunt and all that stuff. But, yeah, I don't see Judgment Day doing a lot past Mania. I don't know what it is, but I just don't see anything happening. Sorry, I'm having technical difficulties. My vape decided to work against me. Gotta hate when that happens. But yeah, my apologies. Dom has go away heat, and everyone keeps saying, no, he's got great heel heat. No, I've been saying he's had go away heat for forever and a day. And the problem is Judgment Day's time with the tag titles is going to be coming to an end soon. Where they go, I'm not sure. They've been doing some weird stuff in the aftermath of the pay-per-view. So I'm really not sure where they're going, but I don't see Dom Mysterio making an impact on his own. JD, I don't see doing anything of merit without the aid of Finn. And I think the Damian Priest experiment is almost done. I think that was a given with... I'll cover aftermath at the end. I do want to point out, though, with this match, that in the year of our Lord 2024, a 50-plus thousand arena popped for an airplane spin. Less is more. Everyone in AEW and on the indies needs to pay attention. Less is more. And Tyler Bate proved that. I did laugh at the Burning Hammer. Even though, like, because obviously it was a two-man assisted Burning Hammer, except for in the execution. Obviously, because they want to be a little bit safer, and that's fine. That's fine. That I did chuckle at that. So I will give them that. But Judgment Day retains. I don't think this is the last we're going to see of it. I fully believe we're going to see some form of a multi-team ladder match at Mania. I don't know if Judgment Day is going to be part of it. I think there might be a chance that they drop them right before Mania. I'm not sure. It's a possibility. If they don't, they are dropping them at Mania. My original prediction a while back was a four-team ladder match, Street Profits, AOP, Judgment Day, and DIY. That may change. I don't know. I feel like they're going to hold off on, they're going to keep the whole Final Testament and Pride feud separate. So I still think we're going to get a four-team ladder match going on with Judgment Day, New Catch Republic, DIY, and I'm not sure who else. God, I hope it's not the fucking Creed Brothers. they don't deserve a Mania payday. They don't deserve to be on TV. But we'll see where we go with that. So that leads us to the interview segment of the show, which people want to bitch about. Why is there an interview segment on a pay-per-view? That's being said by people who don't seem to realize, or I shouldn't say don't seem to realize, this is coming from people who didn't watch wrestling before AEW came on. I got an argument with one of these freaking idiots on Twitter, and I had to point out one of the biggest WrestleMania moments of all time is the Piper's Pit with Morton Downey Jr. This dude tried to tell me, yeah, that was just one thing, but there's like 10 Piper matches at Mania that I could rank above that. Like, shut up. The reason this interview segment took place was for multiple reasons. One, it was to get Grayson Waller on the show because they were in Australia. Two, it was to get Cody on the show without giving him a match because you don't want to jeopardize anything with part of your main event for Mania. Three, it was to get Seth on the show while he's still recovering. Four, as plans came out, originally it was supposed to be Seth versus Bronson Reed for the World Heavyweight title in Perth. But between Seth's injury and Bronson Reed's wife being 9 months pregnant, it was a foregone match. So they did this as a make good to get faces there. People want to complain about how nothing was accomplished by this, blah, blah, blah. Why does something need to be accomplished with every interview segment? Once again, I refer you to Piper's Pit with Morton Downey Jr. What was the point of that? I got a pop from the crowd. That's all it was there for. What was this for? It was to get a pop from the crowd. It was for Austin Theory to bump for Cody and Seth. And for Grayson Waller to go jawjack in front of Australia, because it's better that he's seen, well, that he's heard and not seen, because I still think he's dangerous in the ring. And once again, they don't want to risk people this close to Mania. And they know that Waller is still really janky. And plus, people are going to look back on this and go, oh. Months from now and realize that there was something there. Because I firmly believe that we're going to get a Seth Rollins heel turn at Mania. This is all setting up. This is Seth setting up, betraying Cody, helping the bloodline inadvertently for his own reasons. I'm sure once we get closer to Mania and me and Brian are back on the same, work schedule, we can go over that in detail. But that's that. I'm putting my eggs in that basket. So then we get, where were we going? We get the men's chamber match. Few things about the men's chamber match. I'll keep it brief. I'll keep it brief because the entrances took forever. And honestly, I understand it. It's a big stadium show. It's the first time in Australia in over 5 years. Like, you want the big pomp and circumstance and everything. So you give the crowd what they want. That's completely fine. This is where my only prediction as far as not match result, but something that happening during the match did not happen. So I firmly believe, because they had already kind of hinted that they were going to be building towards LA Knight versus Logan Paul at Mania for the US title. Apparently that's not happening. I wasn't a fan of Lashley being in this match because he had nothing to do with everyone else. Once again, same thing I said about the women's. I don't understand why there's SmackDown people in this when it's for the Raw title. Whatever. Even though it was what? Orton Owens, Logan Paul, Lashley. More than half of the combatants in it were from the other show. Like, what good does that do? We obviously know Drew's going to win because we need Drew to win in this instance. The surprise of LA Knight getting eliminated because AJ Styles comes in and Molly whops him with a chair. Okay. So that means to me that they're going with a LA Knight versus AJ Styles feud going into Mania. Whether it happens at Mania or it happens before, I think the LA Knight experiment's finally done, folks. People were like, oh, he deserves the title. I don't even think he's in the contention for a mid-card title anymore. I think they realize that he hit his ceiling, that he's going to get the crowd to pop. They're going to say, yeah, in the Pavlovian response. But besides that, I'm pretty sure the Logan, the LA Knight experiment is done. And if so, I'd just like to tell the universe, I told you so. I was surprised by having Randy Orton eliminate Logan Paul and then by having Logan come in and wallop him with a brass knuckle. So, okay, so we're getting Orton versus Logan Paul at Mania, huh? That's interesting. I mean, it's possible that it could have turned into like a three-way or four-way as well. You're putting in Kevin Owens and stuff like that. Possibility. I just found it kind of weird. Like, okay. I mean, obviously, you know, like I'm not the biggest Randy Orton fan, but if you're going to trust a guy, there's your guy. I don't see them putting a mid-card title on Randy Orton this late in his career. But then again, Ric Flair won the U.S. title from Conan after being a freaking, you know, 10-time world champion. So who knows? Could happen. people want to say that Kevin Owens took liberties with Logan Paul during this match. No, he didn't. Number one, they're like, oh, well, Logan Paul's still green. He's been there for 2 years and training for 2 years. Like, the he's still green excuse? No more. Owens just makes stuff look snug. I've taken all of the same bumps Logan Paul has in that match. If you're taken from the right guy, it's safe as shit. Owens just makes it look good. I think Owens and Logan Paul actually just have that good chemistry where everything looks cemento. And when you're able, like, obviously they've been able to work the internet into thinking, oh, Kevin Owens is too stiff on Logan Paul. Nah, bro. Nah. You got worked. Welcome to being a wrestling fan. And everyone's, you know, so Drew wins. Great. Now we got Drew versus Seth. I'll save my predictions for everything that happens down the line with that. But so we've got that set up, and that leads us to the women's championship for the main event. Rhea versus Nia Jax. I think this match did shut up a lot of the Nia Jax haters. As far as people talking about you know, she is unsafe, yada, yada, blah, blah, blah. I've always been a proponent of Nia. This match reminded me a lot of the NXT TakeOver London between Bayley and Nia. I mean, we knew that Rhea was going to win because they're in Australia and you want to send the crowd home happy. You just got a family in the audience. Like, you're not going to have... And Rhea's, yo, she's on the cusp of over a year reign. Like, you're not going to have her. You're not going to have her drop the title in her hometown. Not hometown, but home country. But they put on a solid match. I did think it was funny that Nia took that one ass bump and the entire Aussie crowd started chanting my hole. That was pretty funny. But it was a solid match. Like I said, I think it's going to change the mind of a lot of people as far as it comes to Nia in the future. So... Overall, I wasn't a fan of the women's chamber, but it wasn't unbearable. It served its purpose. I wasn't the biggest fan of it. The other three matches I thought were perfectly serviceable. I didn't think, you know, there wasn't anything glaring as far as awfulness on the show. Like I said, people want to sit there with a stopwatch. Shut up. Just shut up. Just stop it. You're going to time how much wrestling happens on a pay-per-view. Shut up. I guarantee they're going to do the same thing for Mania. And they're going to sit there, oh, this stupid commercial break, blah, blah. Guess what? It's their Super Bowl. Ad revenue through the roof. You're going to see ads. You're going to shut up. But as far as the pay-per-view as a whole, yeah, I give it, you know, solid. I give it a solid B, B plus. Nothing especially awesome, but nothing egregiously awful. Solid B. Solid B. For a go-home show, for the stopgap show until Mania, for a sold show, I was looking through my Facebook memories compared to the Saudi show that happened 4 years ago this week. We all know the tragedy of the shit that happened there. I had done a long post about it back then about how you could tell that that was a sold show and it was run like an indie sold show. This was a sold show that wasn't run like an indie sold show. So for that, I'm thankful. Where we go from here, we will see. I have some ideas. I'm going to try to get things rolling again. Like I said, for anyone that didn't watch the channel update, Brian's in the thick of March Madness right now. You know, he's literally a basketball announcer for college basketball. So his work schedule is a bit busy right now. I'm sure that we're going to get back on track within the next couple of weeks. If not, I'll keep on doing these little reduxes until he's ready to go. But with that being said, I think we're good. Thanks for joining me. I'm Joseph J. Alexander. You can follow me on Twitter, X, however you will, at JJ_Alexander. And have yourselves a great day. Later.